Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text is from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 17. And since it's short, we'll read a little bit at a time and look at it in greater detail. It starts on the way to Jerusalem. He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, which is sort of on the outskirts of the kingdom of the Jews. Jerusalem, of course, was way down south, and then up north, along the River Jordan, you had Galilee, which is sort of foreigners. They're still part of the official kingdom, but up where Jesus did most of his ministry, up in the north. And then Samaria was near modern-day Syria toward the coast, and that was considered, well, barely even part of the promised land at all. These people were definitely on the outskirts. But I think that's fitting, because look what happens. It says, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, if you look at that here, we're probably have all heard something about the first century context of leprosy. And you've heard probably heard the phrase leper colony. These people that were particularly and specifically put away in places away from regular society had to essentially go to a campground for the sick, be put in quarantine. And a lot of this was very similar to what we've heard, for example, with the Good Samaritan, where you had the man that was bleeding there. The reason the priest and the Levite walked across, they didn't want to be within a certain number of paces of something unclean. And of course, lepers with open sores, there's various different skin diseases today we might call leprosy. It's not an exact parallel, but it was something very serious, not just medically, but religiously. And that's a similar situation that the chosen frozen, the people in Judea, thought about the Galileans and especially about the Samaritans. They realized that there are certain people out there that literally, we have this in our English idiom, don't we? Literally untouchable. Because if you touch these deplorable, these untouchable, these disgusting people with lepers, you yourself are considered ceremonially unclean. And then you too would be cut off, not just from interacting with people, but from your job, you know, your chance to make a living, from politics, you know, from participating in the marketplace. You were a pariah. Now, doubtless, these people had heard about Jesus. What they actually believed about him and actually knew at detail, we're not sure. But you can tell by the part of the end of the story, at least where one was coming from. They knew that he was a miracle worker. Some people, they didn't know why. They didn't know if he was anything particular, if he was the Messiah or not. In fact, when Jesus had 5,000 men, plus women and children following him, he says, I tell you the truth, a lot of you are following me because you had your stomachs full, because you got a free meal. You're getting something out of it. A lot of times, even as we Christians, we tend to lose focus. You know, last week we talked about fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the A and Z in our faith. And we have a similar theme going through to today, that faith looks to Jesus, not to what I can get out of it. A lot of times somebody will be very well-intentioned, and you know they'll say, Pastor, that was a great sermon. I feel a lot better. And I say, thank you. But you know, really, if you think about it, the purpose of the sermon is not to make you feel better, or to make you feel comforted, or comfortable, I should say, let's say that, but to be reminded of your sins and to grasp onto that forgiveness of sins, to think about Jesus. I feel and I know that my sins are forgiven because I have seen that I am a sinner, because the laws of God I had not kept, but yet to be able to grasp and hold on to that forgiveness. But we'll get to that, because we can't see into all their hearts. We can only see the external things that happened. So they're crying out to Jesus. They're asking for mercy. In fact, that's the word Kyrie we use in the service a lot. Lord, have mercy on me. And when Jesus saw them, it's interesting what he does. We don't see this particular line very often. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Meaning he realizes that part of their issue is not just literally their sickness. And in fact, as far as this world is concerned, it's not just that they're cut off from God. But they need to be legally recognized. They need to be able to be back in part of their families and their communities. And they have to be able to get back to their daily life. And if you look at this as far as us, as we go and we go out into the world Monday through Friday, we find because we bear this same disease of sin, whether it manifests itself as physical leprosy or open sores on our flesh is not the difference. That all of us walk around with the stinking, putrid sores of our sin and wherever we go. And that's why we're driven apart from other people. That's why we hurt those around us. That's why we're constantly fighting and backstabbing. If you bite and devour each other, take heed lest you consume each other, Paul says. We are all separated from each other, from within our very own families. Our relationship falls apart. We don't get along well with others at work. And it's not just because, well, that person over there is a mean person. All of us in some way have this effect. We sin against others daily. We are as lepers from each other, as in our sins we would be lepers from God. So when he says, go show yourselves to the priest, he wants them to be recognized. They have to basically inspect it. They have to be the one who can certify, okay, you're considered clean now. You can go back home. You can see your family again. You can go back to work. It's almost like getting a doctor's note. And so he's telling them to go get inspected, where I imagine they wouldn't really know why, because at that point, he didn't say they were cleansed immediately, does it? It says, as they went, they were cleansed. So he just gave them a command. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And they were walking, and they were, you know, who knows how far they were. Maybe they were a quarter mile or something like that. They were down the road. They were in the distance. And as they're going, they're looking down, and at that point, their sores are being cleansed. Now, here's where we see a little bit of a difference. They were told to go to the priests, and they were doing all what they were told. In fact, they were going to get the official stamp of approval from God's messengers to say they could go home. But there's this one who has a different idea. And who knows if he fully understood it. But I think by the power of the Holy Spirit, it became clear to him that the real place where God provides healing is not at the lawyer's office where they sign a form and say, okay, you can go back to work. Those were just outward structures to remind people of their uncleanliness apart from God, of their being cleansed by the sacrifice and being brought into fellowship. They're things to teach ultimately forward to Jesus. So they, in a sense, you could say, if you want to kind of look at this in the immediate context of Luke, is they were following the letter of the law. They were doing what Jesus said. And you had one who sort of disobeyed Jesus' instructions. He didn't even go to the priests at all. He didn't have to. Maybe later in the afternoon he did. But he turned back and he went back to Jesus himself. And that's very significant. Because when you see somebody going and it says he threw himself down on his face. Do you know that's the Greek word for worship? When we say worship the Lord, you see this literally in part still in the world, in Judaism and in Islam, which is just a different sect that came from Judaism. Very similar history, but without Jesus and without the gospel. Nonetheless, in some of their external things, you see kind of hints of how things used to be. They literally put their face down on the floor. Now, they don't know about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, but it communicates the same message that they're completely unworthy and they're laying down on their face. That's a picture. And instead of them going to the temple to do that, instead of going to the symbol, like we talked about last several weeks, Jesus said, destroy the temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. The temple was a picture of where God said, I will be with you here in the midst of my people. The temple of God is about the presence. It's about the promise, a place where he says, this is where I am. Yes, God is everywhere. And you know, you can say God's in the trees and God's underwater and the pretty fishes in the mountains. And you know, you can feel him on the wind, people say. But where did God tell you to look for him is where he promised. Originally, it was the temple. Now it's in the body of Christ. He is that glory of God. Christ is, as we see him transfigured, he was the Shekinah of the temple. He was that pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire, the place where God says, here is my grace, here is my salvation. That's what this one person, this outsider, or this double outsider, not only a leper, but also a Samaritan, he was made to understand that. In the same way, when we come before God, when we're stinking with the reality of our sin, the leprosy, when it hangs on us and we realize, look at all the stuff that I've done to those around me. Look at the things in the past that I've done to hurt those. The things that I've done to cut myself off. All the reasons that properly I shouldn't be able to come into God's presence. Being seen as unclean, as dirty and filthy. And realize that God has promised to be in specific places. Christ says that he is with you always to the end of the age. But that's not just a fluttery feeling in your heart, is it? He's with you in the waters of baptism, where the word of God is proclaimed. When he says to you, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That we go directly to the presence of Christ. And though we don't see him in the literal senses of physical sight like this man did, we still know that we walk by faith, not by sight. And that we are in his presence just as much as the Samaritan was. That just as he was at the physical feet in front of the body and blood of Christ, so we too, when we go into his presence, when we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, do so because we get to see God face to face and live. Because we have been made to partake of the great mystery of salvation because we've been united with him. So the text says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So that we've looked at. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, one thing I'd like to point out and to remember, it wasn't just the Samaritan that was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus sent all 10 of them. All 10 of them got at least the physical thing they were looking for. They got to go back to work. They got to reintegrate with society. They no longer had to call out leper, leper, just in case a good clean Jew accidentally stumbled upon him and they wouldn't want to get too close. They were following the rules and they got what they wanted. However, the other one saw further than that. When we go to church just to feel like we had a nice Sunday morning with our family, or just to have a real little relaxing feeling to kind of start your weekend, or for any other reason, when it's to show everybody, look at me, I went to church today. And maybe it's to, well, I think if I learn these Christian secrets and all these principles of faith, maybe I can have a better life. Hopefully you don't hear it that much, but many Christians do, and it's easy to have that misunderstanding, to want to follow Jesus, to have your stomachs full, to have temporal blessings. The reality is Christianity is nothing but leprous, dirty sinners coming into the presence of Christ, made worthy by Him, washed and forgiven. We, even though we are not worthy to come to His presence, He says, rise, your faith has made you well. We know that when we come before the Lord, we are coming to the presence of God Himself. That the most important thing, even the only thing, is the forgiveness of sins. You can never hear the forgiveness of sins enough. You can never get to the point, okay, Pastor, I've heard that before, now let's get on to the real preaching. The reason that we'd be tempted to think that is we'd lose sight of our leprosy. In fact, we were looking at preparation for communion today where it says, what if I don't desire to go to communion? And Luther says, well, just look down at your skin, look at your flesh. You see that you're a sinner. See those open sores spiritually. Look at the world around you. Look how terrible this dominion of darkness in this current world is. Look at the reality around you. You are a sinner. You need forgiveness every day. What we need is to go to the presence of God where He's shown Himself to be, where He's revealed and promised. That is, as we'd say in Lutheranese, word and sacraments. That we receive these gifts, like the other nine, if it's there, no whether we recognize it or not. It's always promised, even if we've been wandering away from God, even if we're here for the wrong reasons, even if we come with all sorts of mixed motivations, nonetheless, the promise, the word of God that He said to the original ten is still sure and valid. What I try to do, what the job of the church is, to point you and focus you on Christ crucified and Him in the flesh for the forgiveness of sins. So we can say, like we looked at last week, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We can say, because of His promise, and you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, just like Ruth said to Naomi, because He has been one with us, even if we are faithless, He remains faithful. You, when He looks at you, He doesn't see lepers or turn up His nose or think, get away from me. He sees somebody pure and unblemished. We are come before Him prepared like a bride for our wedding day, pure and perfect, innocent before God, and He invites us to come, receive His flesh and blood, receive His forgiveness, and do that forevermore in His presence at the feet of Christ Himself. Now may this peace which transcends all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.